Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, 1 through 12. Proverbs, chapter 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledging Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshing to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights.
As you read one of my favorite books, they're all my favorite in some way, the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about Solomon and his efforts to find the meaning of life. What is it that we're to do in our life under the sun? And you read about his pursuits to find it through wealth and through the things of this life, through possessions, through wisdom. Ultimately, we know that when he comes to the end of that journey, the inspiration of God, he finishes that book by saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, that the end of the matter is this, that all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Again, for young and old, for rich and poor, for everybody who walks the face of the earth, our whole duty before God is to fear Him and to keep His commandments. When we read the words of Solomon here in Proverbs chapter 3 that have just been read, I believe we read the words of someone who's realized that, again, life is not about what we have and what we own and the things of this life, but it's about our relationship with God. And as we read these words in Proverbs chapter 3, in the text that I want to focus on this morning is in verses 5 and 6 when Solomon writes by the inspiration of God, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge God, acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What does it mean then to acknowledge Him? And how is it that we're to go throughout our lives acknowledging God? We may be driving down the road, and you may see some sight, and somebody will ask you, did you see that? And yeah, I saw that. We acknowledge that we saw something. Did it do anything to you? We may say upon meeting someone, did you acknowledge that you met somebody? Well, I met them, but it really didn't mean anything to me. When we hear the words, acknowledge God in all your ways, acknowledge Him, what does that mean? In our study this morning, let's take a look at how we can acknowledge God in our lives and what He expects of us in that acknowledgement. Let's begin by pointing out that to acknowledge God means that we acknowledge, first of all, His existence and His continual presence in our lives. Let's begin by acknowledging that He exists. The Hebrew writer says that that is one of the core basis of our faith, that we acknowledge who He is. And he says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We have to begin by acknowledging that, again, He is. And that's at the heart of our faith. recognizing that there is a God, and recognizing that He is someone who rewards those who seek Him. We acknowledge God by recognizing the fact that He has made us. He has given us life. In Psalms chapter 139, and verse 14, we read the words of David, beginning in verse 13, where he says, "For thou dost form my inward parts, thou dost weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well." David says, in my very being, I know that you have given me life. I know that you are the one who has given me my soul. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm a created being. I'm not my own. And we need to acknowledge God by recognizing that indeed God has made us. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 45 and beginning in verse 9, Isaiah the prophet says there, beginning in verse 9, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the thing you are making say, 'He has no hands'? Woe to him who says to a father, 'What are you beginning?' Or to a woman, 'To what are you giving birth?' Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, 'Ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you shall commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all the hosts, their hosts. I have aroused him righteousness, and I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and will let my exiles go free without any payment or reward,' said the Lord of hosts." Again, God says, it is I who made the earth, and it is I who put man upon it. When we talk about acknowledging God in all our ways every day of our life, we have to have the presence of mind to remember that I'm only here because God willed it so. That the only reason I can walk upon this face of the earth is because God made it. And the only reason I personally am here is because God has given me life. And Lord God, I need to acknowledge that you're my creator. You're the one who has made all things. And I need to acknowledge and remember that as children of God, that failure to acknowledge God as the creator, of the giver of life. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says that failure to know him is the first step towards apostasy, that when we fail to acknowledge God as our creator and the one who has given us life, again, that's the first step towards leading us away from God. And we know that we live in a society now that, I don't want to hazard a guess, but a lot of people we know don't see fit to acknowledge God as the creator, as the maker of all things. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, Paul says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." It begins when we don't acknowledge God as the creator. And earlier in that chapter, he had pointed out, Paul did, in verses 18 through 20, that the creation of the world has given evidence of who he is, that looking around at the things that he has made, we see his eternal power, his divine nature. And as such, we need to acknowledge that, again, God, you've made all these things, and you've given me life. And as such, as the one who's created me and who has given me life and knows me, we can't forget and become the fool that David talks about in Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1, that doesn't acknowledge God anymore as the creator, as the one who's given us life. And that we need to remember that God, as our creator, as we read in Psalm chapter 139, as we have referenced that chapter already, that as our Creator, that He is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. I believe that in that context is actually verse 4. Verse 3, where David says that Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. We need to acknowledge that God indeed has created all things. He's given us life, and that He knows me better than I even know myself. That even before there's a word on my tongue, He knows it. And I need to acknowledge that. I need to acknowledge that, again, there's nothing I can do that He is not aware of. And along that lines, as we acknowledge God's existence and His presence and His creative power, we need to also then acknowledge our Father in heaven by submitting to God's right to rule. That if I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways, it's not just realizing that, again, yes, okay, God created all things, but that as such, He has all rule and authority and power over me. And that I need to submit my way unto His and begin by acknowledging that, again, we are created beings. Our life is not our own, that it belongs to Him. If you'll turn to Psalm chapter 100. In Psalm 100 and in verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And notice again, I believe, in terms of the author of this being, I believe, David, he goes on to say that recognizing that it's He who made us and not we ourselves, that we're the people and the sheep of His pasture, he goes on to verse 4 to say, "Enter His case with thanksgiving and His course with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." Again, acknowledge God as your Maker, as the one who has given you life. And if you'll turn a few chapters later to that lengthy chapter of Psalms 119, and beginning in verse 73, there David said, "Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. May those who fear Thee see me and be glad, because I wait for Thy word." Verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness Thou hast afflicted me." Again, David realizing again that the hands of God had made him and fashioned him. But again, see that link between acknowledging that God is my Creator and the one who has given me life, with the fact that in verse 73 and 4, "Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments." I realize that again, Your word governs me, that Your commandments are what I need to follow. And give me understanding so that as Your created being, I will follow what You have told me to do. And we need to acknowledge that, again, He has the right to rule in my life. And to acknowledge God by acknowledging that I don't know what's best. And that as my Creator, I owe to Him to say that I need to trust Your paths. I need to trust Your ways. As we sung the song just a few moments ago, "Teach me Thy ways, O Lord." Because I know, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Because I acknowledge that, again, You're my Creator. You're the one who gave me. And then I need to trust that my own ideas are not to govern my life. I need to walk according to Your will. And certainly, as those of us who have been through studies on the subject of Bible authority, passages that Mickey has worked to try and, as it were, impress upon our minds that we will call and remember, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, we need to associate with Jeremiah 10:23. For there, again, Solomon says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I acknowledge, Father, that You are the one who has created me, You've given me life, and You have revealed Your will to me, and I need to trust it. And I need to recognize that, again, it's not the way that seems right to me, but it's Your way. "Teach me Thy way, O Lord." And when we think about this passage, going back to back to Proverbs chapter 3, that is what, again, in this context, he said in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That is, we may try to figure things out ourselves, that this is what seems right to me, that in my logic and my understanding, this is the way life should be. But I'm going to acknowledge, God, that I don't know, that there's things in the perspective of life and everything that you've done that I don't understand. And Lord, I'm going to submit my will to yours and just say, I don't understand, I don't know. And I'll trust that, as we read in Deuteronomy 29:29, that the things you want me to know, you've revealed to me. And the things that you haven't revealed to me, I didn't need to know that. I need to acknowledge again that He knows best. And that when we think about our plans in life, that regarding our plans, that we need to then take the attitude as His created beings, if the Lord wills. That again, I may think what I know is best in my life and what I should be doing and what how my life should turn out. Brethren, if the Lord wills, we need to have the attitude that is up to Him in James chapter 4 and verse 15. Again, James talking about the uncertainty of life and about being presumptuous about the things yet to come and thinking that we're in control. And that we know what tomorrow is going to be like. We know what next week is going to hold for us. And we have control of our lives. James says, no, you don't. And in verse 15, he says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. When we say, if the Lord wills, are we not acknowledging God as our Creator? As one who has control of our lives. And not we ourselves. Proverbs chapter 16. And in verse 9, later on in that book, we read again Solomon recording the words for us, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, we have ideas, and I understand it in terms of what's on my agenda at work next week, that I can't just not make plans at all, that I need to make decisions about how my calendar is going to look. But I do so with the overall and overarching attitude of, if the Lord wills, that I recognize that I don't hold the keys to the future. I recognize that, it is the will of God that will govern my life, and that I will subject myself unto Him. So again, I will not lean on my own understanding, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, that was read a few moments ago, where Solomon says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I'm going to recognize that, again, I'm not going to try and make all the decisions in my life, but I'm going to turn to God and lean on Him. And as I realize the need to acknowledge God in all my ways, I'm going to also realize I need to acknowledge Him by submitting, again, to God's right to rule. Going on with this same point, we read then in Matthew chapter 21 of the fact that ultimately we have to acknowledge God while acknowledging the fact that there is only two standards of authority. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23 through 27, the question came up about the baptism of John and where it came from. And Jesus asked, was it from heaven or from men? Was it from God or was it from the ideas of man? And they would not answer. But we know that those are our only two choices in life. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, again, it's not whether or not we come up with ideas of good things to do. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in the beginning of verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He says in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? Didn't we, Lord, come up with a lot of good ideas ourselves? Didn't we use our own wisdom and understanding to come up with things to do? And in verse 23, Jesus says, "And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You did things without authority. You did things because you thought they were good to do. You need to trust me and submit to my authority and to acknowledge by acting in faith." In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, we need to trust Him, as we read in Proverbs 3, and not lean on our own understanding, but again, act in faith to trust Him, and to trust Him by actually doing what He has asked us to do. In Proverbs chapter 4, and in verse 13, again, it was Paul's attitude as he went through life, that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That I could live by faith, I could do the will of God because of the strength of God and not my own. And we need to trust Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 5, if we're going to live by faith and truly trust Him, not upon our own understanding, and acknowledge God in all our ways, again, Hebrews 13, 5, the Hebrew writer says, Let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. Trust me. Do things the way that I have directed you to do. I think about Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, when the Israelites began to scatter from him. And he knew that he was not authorized to offer the sacrifices. But he said there in 1 Samuel 13 that I forced myself, even though I knew it wasn't right. Because he didn't trust that Samuel would come. He didn't trust the Lord and lean upon Him that indeed the sacrifices would be offered. We need to acknowledge by acting in faith. Brethren, we need to acknowledge God in all our ways. And when we think about our human relationships in life, we understand that if we're going to acknowledge each other, that means that we're going to communicate with each other. I'm going to acknowledge you in the fact that you're with me by listening to you. And then I'm going to speak to you myself. You might say, if you put two people in a room and they never spoke and they never listened to each other, how could you say that they acknowledged each other? But brethren, we need to acknowledge God by communicating with Him. And number one, we need to acknowledge God. And again, this could be a lesson in and of itself. We need to acknowledge God by listening to Him. By turning our ears and our hearts and our minds to the things that He has to say. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, as they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, and Jesus was transfigured before the apostles, and the voice of God came down and spoke to those who were there and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." Acknowledge that, again, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life by listening to Him. And brethren, this is one bullet point on this lesson, but there is so much application in our lives. If we're going to acknowledge God, we're going to listen to Him. Listen to Him how often? And at what frequency? And with what degree of effort? We know that 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that we need to be diligent, present ourselves approved unto God as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. We're going to acknowledge God by being diligent with His word. We're going to acknowledge God and listen to Him, not just at one point in our life, not just when things are bad and we need Him. We're going to acknowledge God in the good days and the bad. Whether we're having a good day and just things are going well, or when we're having a bad day and things aren't going well, we're going to acknowledge Him by saying, "I'm going to listen to you. That I don't feel good, that people aren't treating me right, that I'm facing some difficulties in my life, but I'm going to listen to you today, just like I listened to you yesterday when things went well. And I acknowledge that what you have to say is what I need every day of my life, and I value it tremendously." Brethren, like I said, there's one line here. We need to acknowledge God by listening to Him, but it is something in our lives that needs to take place every day. That every day we need to make sure that we acknowledge Him by saying, "I recognize that Your Word is an inspired Word of God. That again, You've revealed to me the things that I need to know. And as David said in Psalms chapter 14, it is the lamp to my feet. It's what directs my paths. It's what guides me in the way that I should walk. So therefore, as we sung again, teach me thy way, because I'm listening. We think about the bulletin article last week from the book of Samuel, that Samuel, when he had heard the voice of God, didn't know what it was. But finally, Eli said that if you hear that again, understand that that is God speaking to you. And he told Samuel, if you hear that again, here's what you need to say. You need to say, speak, for thy servant is listening. I'm listening to what you have to say. I acknowledge that, again, you're the one that needs to guide my paths. But it's not just listening to him. We're going to acknowledge God also in our lives. And don't we acknowledge God when we go to him in prayer? When we say to God, I need to come to you and cast my cares and concerns upon you, because I know that you care for me. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 tells us that we're to be unceasing in our prayers. And are we not acknowledging God when we go to him and say, you know, Lord, there are things that are beyond what I can handle. I need your help. There are things that are troubling me that I need your care. Lord, I recognize that I need to worship and praise you. And I need to remember your forgiveness in my life and how I need to extend that to others. We acknowledge God when we come to him in prayer, and to recognize, and when we think about our prayers before God, I think about Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, when Hebrews says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How is it that we draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, but through our prayers to God? And that we draw near to God upon his throne, realizing that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That upon those situations in life which I cannot handle on my own, I'm going to acknowledge, God, that you can help me. I'm going to acknowledge that the fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And I'm going to acknowledge that I'm going to acknowledge God by not being anxious then about those things that are in my life that I can't control. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6, Paul, and again, it's so easy to read the words of Paul from the books of like Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians that he wrote, and we forget this, as a prisoner. He's a prisoner. And it was Paul, while he was in prison, that said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, lest your requests be made known to God. When there's, again, things that are troubling you, don't be anxious about them. Because frankly, by being anxious about these things, we keep it to ourselves. But when we go to God in prayer, and as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, when we cast our cares upon him, that's acknowledging that there is a higher being, that there is a Father in heaven who is not only our creator, but one who loves us, who is ready to extend grace and mercy to us to help us in times of need. And we need to acknowledge God in our lives through our avenue of prayer by believing that indeed we can cast all our anxiety upon him. And are we fully acknowledging God when we have those things, those cares of life that we keep to ourselves, perhaps doubting that, again, the effectual prayers of a righteous man can indeed accomplish much? Brethren, we need to acknowledge God in our lives by saying thank you. We need to acknowledge that everything that we have in life, we have because of him. We need to recognize that all that we have, that all that we are, and now all that we hope to be is from him. In James chapter 1, James talks about the fact that basically it's kind of a summary. If there's something that good has happened to you, if you have a blessing in this life, just know this, every good thing and every perfect thing in life just comes from above. He says there in verse 17, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. If there's a good thing in your life, physical or spiritual, go to God, acknowledge that again it's from Him. Have you been blessed with a job, with a house, with a family, with the things of this life, with the food you need to eat and the clothes you have to wear? Acknowledge God. If you realize that based upon what God has revealed to us, you realize that you are a sinner, and you wanted to know what you needed to do about your sin, and you read in God's Word that if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm willing to confess my faith in Him, and I'm willing to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I can have the forgiveness of sins. And if you recognize that and did that, and you became a child of God, and now you recognize that as a child of God, you have all spiritual blessings, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 33. Ephesians 1, verse 3. The blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him. Do you realize all the spiritual blessings you have in Christ? The forgiveness that you have, the hope of things beyond this life, to be eternally with Him. If you realize that, once you acknowledge God and thank Him for the blessings that He's extended to us, we need to recognize God for His temporal and eternal spiritual blessings in Christ. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, Paul pretty succinctly states this by saying, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, acknowledge God through your prayers, and when you go to God in prayer, acknowledge Him by telling God, thank you. In chapter 3, in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, recognizing that you're part of the body of Christ, and let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We talk about that we need to acknowledge God by doing things His way. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. But the verse doesn't end there. It ends by saying, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Most of us, I hope, had good parents who taught you as a child that when somebody blessed you in some way, to acknowledge that blessing by telling them thank you. Acknowledge what others have done for you. Anybody who knows me, again, has known that I've spoken to my grandfather many times, and one of the key lessons that I remembered from him was that whenever, again, as a child, I was taught to tell my grandfather thank you for whatever it is, the meal or whatever the thing may have been, then my father always followed with the words, it'll cost you. And in fact, as we thank God for the blessings we receive, we need to realize that there is a cost associated with the blessings He's given to us. That is, that we serve Him, that we follow Him, that we strive to be a blessing to others in our lives. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways by telling Him thank you. Brethren, we need to acknowledge God in all our ways by giving back to Him. You might say, well, here's where it comes. Okay, now, you know, this is where we hear the speech about how we need to open our pocketbooks. You know, if that's what it comes down to, is simply, okay, what check do I have to write? We're missing the point here. But the very point of the fact that it'll cost you means that when we think about our blessings, that we realize that I need to acknowledge God by what I do with what God has given to me. And indeed, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, from this very context, in which again Solomon has said, acknowledge God in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He said in verse 9, to honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Acknowledge God and the fact that He's given these things to you. Acknowledge Him by giving back of these things. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren about fulfilling their commitment to give to, so that they might help the needy brethren in Jerusalem, he reminded them that as we acknowledge God in giving back to Him, we do so cheerfully, we do so joyfully, because again, it's a pleasure realizing that God has blessed us. We do so ungrudgingly and free of compulsion. We do so as stewards, acknowledging God as the rightful owner of all that we have. I'm simply a steward, and perhaps that's not a word that we understand, but it simply means as a steward that we are entrusted with what belongs to somebody else. We're taking care of it for someone else. We're taking care of the blessings of God. But brethren, as we said, it's not simply a matter, and does it involve what we give upon the first day of the week? Is that part of, again, acknowledging God? Yes. And we need to do so, as it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 9, from the first of our produce, that we don't give to God what is left over in our lives. Brethren, it's a lot more than simply what we give of our money. It's what we give of ourselves, of who we are. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, we read of the parable of the talents. And it's not a matter of, again, taking those financial blessings that we're given and somehow properly investing them so we can give something back to God financially. But it's taking everything that God has blessed us with and saying, how can I use that for the glory and honor of God? It's understanding that in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 that I consider my whole life as a living sacrifice unto God. It's not a matter of, again, simply tithing a certain amount so I can do my duty. It's understanding that all that I have, all that belongs to me, belongs to Him. And I'm giving myself unto God. It's understanding the need to, again, share of myself, to let my light shine. That I acknowledge God by giving of myself to those in the world that I live in. To be the salt of the earth and the light in this world, to let other people know that there's a God in heaven who's loved me and forgave me, who's made me part of His family. But one passage I don't have up there, I'm not sure why I didn't include this, but when we think about giving of ourselves back to the Lord, what precedes what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 about our financial giving unto the Lord upon the first day of the week, there's something that preceded all that. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's begin in verse 1, where Paul says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. He said, they gave. You remember the expression, they gave until it hurts? They gave until it hurts. In fact, they gave more than they had to give. Verse 3, that I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. But notice verse 5. Here's the real point. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Why is it that they gave in beyond their abilities of their finances? It wasn't because they were just shrewd money managers. It was because they made a decision earlier. They made a decision. I'm giving myself to the Lord. Now I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways by giving my life to Him. And once we've given our life to the Lord and all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we've given that to the Lord, when it comes to the things of this life and the money that we do have, that becomes a very easy decision at that point in time. And what God wants from us in our acknowledgement of Him is to give our lives unto Him. And then as we give our lives unto Him, we're also going to acknowledge God through our worship and our praise, that we're going to offer Him worship in spirit and in truth. And if you'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as we study from John chapter 4, we're going to be studying this very context in which Jesus teaches the Samaritan woman that it's not here and it's not there, but it's worship that is in spirit and in truth. And it's interesting that as he talks and compares the worship of the Samaritans to the worship that the Jews had done and were performing at that time, he says to the Samaritan woman, it needs to be in truth. That is, the Samaritans weren't worshiping in truth. They had made up their own religion. But he also said to those Jews, as we study the life of Christ, he had many things to say to the rulers of the Jews at that point in time, whose worship unto God was not from their heart, but their worship was focused in outward ceremony. It was how things looked on the outside. It was devoid of heart. It was devoid of their spirit involved in their worship. And Jesus said, an hour is coming and now is when those who worship God will worship Him in spirit. It won't simply be an outward show of righteousness before other men, but it's going to come from the heart. And it's going to be in truth. It's not going to be something you made up by neglecting the things that God has revealed about how He is to be worshipped. But we are to worship Him in spirit and truth, to give the glory that is due His name, as we read in Psalm chapter 29 and in verse 1 and 2. But the question is, in terms of acknowledging God, do we acknowledge God through our worship occasionally? Do we acknowledge God by praising Him in songs sometimes? To the Hebrews, Paul, I believe, or whoever the Hebrew writer wrote, and that should be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, asked the question, what is your habit or what's your custom? He acknowledged that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. Some believe that acknowledging God through worship and praise, as long as you do it every once in a while. But his point there is it is to be our habit, our practice, to continually offer to God our praise and our worship unto Him, and to do so reverently. There are a lot of people who want to acknowledge God through their own ideas, not in truth. But they say, well, my spirit is into it. I'm doing those things that is just from my heart. But it's not what God has revealed, what He has asked for. It's not done reverently. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 28, we read there, regarding our whole attitude toward God, much less in our worship in all aspects of our life, he says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and with awe. Will we acknowledge God through our worship, through our reverence unto Him, by acknowledging that indeed He has the right to dictate how we're going to worship Him? In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. This is the God who we acknowledge. He is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. When we came into this building this morning, was that our purpose, to acknowledge God through our worship? I have known, and perhaps many of you have known throughout your lives, within this congregation, I've seen many, and there are many, some of you here right now, who demonstrate that physically it's not always easy to come and worship God. Been here as a member of this congregation now about 24 years. I've seen people like Mary Burgess and Dick Kling, and many, many others, and some of you who are here right now. It's not easy to come. It's hard to get here. But it's folks like those who have taught me that they come because they feel compelled to acknowledge God. They feel compelled to acknowledge Him through their praise and their worship. even though it's not easy. Brethren, that's why we come, not for what we get out of it, but what we offer to God through our being here. Brethren, our time is up, but I want to remind all of us that we also acknowledge God in our homes and in our families by accepting the roles and responsibilities that God has given us to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, by recognizing the responsibilities that I have as a husband, as a father, as a mother, and as a wife. I'm going to acknowledge God through the roles and responsibilities that I have. I'm going to acknowledge God in our home through the time we spend together. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9 talk about the fact that God had asked of His children, His people in the Old Testament, that you acknowledge me every day of your lives when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, to remember the Word of God, to have it read within your home. Acknowledge me by making sure that the Word of God is not something that you simply come together upon the first day of the week for. Acknowledge me by making part of it, by making me and my Word part of your home and your family. And by demonstrating that you understand how important it is as a family to read together, to pray together, and to meditate upon His will. And brethren, we're going to acknowledge God finally. We're going to acknowledge God all the days of our life. There are many perhaps acknowledge God as they realize that they have sinned. And they come forward and they say, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I need to be forgiven. And they obey the gospel and they're forgiven of their sins. But then they go on their way and don't continue to acknowledge God. They don't continue to be faithful to Him. As we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. We're going to acknowledge God by doing so in our days when we're younger. When we're young, whatever is younger than me is young. But we think, well, sometimes the thought process is, well, I'm too young to begin to acknowledge God and to have a relationship with Him. And we read in Ecclesiastes 12 that we're to remember the Creator in the days of our youth. Acknowledge Him when you're young. But we also read in Titus chapter 2 and in various other passages that even as those who are older, that we have a responsibility to continue to acknowledge Him all the days of our life, that we're faithful unto death. In Psalms chapter 27, in verse 4, the psalmist records for us there this aspect of our acknowledgement being something that we need to continue. When he says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. The emphasis there by David is all the days of my life. I want to acknowledge God. I want to be with God. I want to dwell within His temple all the days of my life. Indeed, we need to acknowledge God. We need to understand that if we do acknowledge God all the days of our life, through our worship, through our praise, recognizing Him as our Creator, the one who's given us life. The promise then, going back to Proverbs chapter 3, says He will make your path straight. And sometimes that's interpreted as that, again, if I acknowledge God, He's going to make my path straight, meaning that all my problems are going to go away. See, He's talked about straight paths. I'm not going to have to turn. I'm not going to have any roadblocks or obstacles to overcome. It's just going to be clear sailing once I acknowledge God. Brethren, that's not what he's talking about. The Hebrew word for straight means to lead, to direct, to lead straight along. The point is that when he talks about, and I will make your path straight, see, sometimes hear the expression, it's not about the journey, it's about the destination. He says, I will make your path straight. He's talking about our destination. He's talking about the fact that we will achieve the goal that we have before us. We'll be able to be successful. And when we think of Matthew chapter 7, the focus of Jesus' discussion about the narrow way and the straight way, indeed we're right to point out that the narrow way means that it's limited to what God has said, and that the broad path means you can do whatever you want. But the ultimate point of that context is not the narrow way and the broad way, it's about where they lead. It's about the fact that the narrow way leads to eternal life and that the broad way leads to destruction. When we are promised that He will make our path straight, that when we acknowledge God in all our ways, what we're being promised is we're going to be successful in our spiritual journey. That where we're aiming towards, we'll achieve. He will make our path straight so we can be successful. That is, it will lead us to life. The point is the success of where those straight paths lead. We can't ever forget the end of what we're aiming towards. And if we walk as Christians acknowledging God, then indeed we are promised the entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 11. And we will be right with God forever. We're going to be with Him. But it requires that we acknowledge God in all of our ways, all the days of our life, in everything that we do, in every aspect of our life. Brethren, the lesson is yours. But if you're here this morning and you realize that I have never acknowledged God by my obedience to the gospel, again, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the fact that He is your God. Acknowledge the fact that He has rule and authority over you. Acknowledge the fact through your confession of your sins that you have not lived right in His sight and that you need His forgiveness. And if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, acknowledge His right to rule by submitting to that will. You'd be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here this morning and you are a child of God, but again, you haven't continued to acknowledge Him in all your ways and you realize that you need forgiveness and you need to acknowledge Him and acknowledge the fact that you have fallen short of the will of God and you desire the prayers of your brethren. Acknowledge God this morning by coming and confessing your sins and asking for the prayers of your brethren as we stand together and sing.